Been in a series the last couple of weeks called Dangerous Prayers, and I'm going to continue in that again today. And but these are dangerous graduates, and while we are so very proud of each of them, we are praying God's best in their lives. And it's not just been prayer; there has been equipping as well. A good many of those graduates are on our dream team and have been throughout their high school phase of learning. And dream team is high school aged students who are faithful and committed to the church and help serve the house. There are dream teamers in church kids today. There are dream teamers back in production today, running screens and helping do all of that. And we're just so grateful for the blessing they are to the house. You may be a middle schooler that is moving up, a rising ninth grader or eighth grader going into high school and interested in serving the church. You want to talk to PK and talk to your CY leaders and let's get you on the team, because it's fantastic. It's not just prayer, but it is equipping. And so when we talk about a dangerous prayer for these graduates, I wanted to include them today, and I want to charge them to be dangerous. So far, we have prayed, Lord, search me. And last Sunday, we prayed, Lord, break me. And both of those prayers are dangerous. They are not safe prayers. And we understand the safe prayers. If today is your first time hearing one of the messages in this series, then I need to qualify a little bit that all prayer is good prayer. Any prayer you pray is a good prayer, and it's a prayer that is heard by the Lord and I believe answered by the Lord in some way. We understand safe prayers, and many of those prayers will get us through, but I also know that God is calling us to more. It's not just the prayers that I pray that get me through or that allow me to survive, but I want to pray the prayers that afford me the opportunity to thrive in God and to do great things in God. And it's just reality. Many of the prayers, most of the prayers we pray are for ourselves or for those that we're close to or related to, those that we love. And again, there's nothing wrong with those prayers. I pray them, and I'm going to continue to pray them. Prayers like, Lord, heal me. Lord, bless me. Lord, help me know the answers. If you have finals this week, then you'll be praying this prayer every day this week. Lord, help me know the answers. Maybe it's a prayer like, heal my grandma, Lord, or I really, really want to pass this test, and I'm asking you to help me know the answers. Those are real prayers. But what if we pray another prayer? What if we pray a dangerous prayer? Because I absolutely believe that God wants to help us. But what if we pray about how we can help Him? What if we prayed more about what we could do for God? What if we prayed a prayer of availability? What if we prayed a prayer of surrender? Today, I want to pray, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. You say, Pastor Darrell, that doesn't sound like a dangerous prayer. I couldn't quite get on board with that break me prayer last week, and I'm still nervous about that search me prayer, but this send me one. I think I got this, because This is not dangerous at all unless God has a different plan than you have. It may not be dangerous as long as God honors your plans. But what if he asked you to honor his plans for your life? You see, I believe that my plans and his plans can be aligned. Much of the spiritual struggle in life, and this is well beyond graduates. There's people with gray hair in this room that are still having this internal battle, but much of the spiritual struggle in our lives is trying to get our will and his will to agree, trying to get our plans and his plans to align. He's pulling one way and we're pulling another. He's calling us over here and we got our eyes set on something that is far from where the Lord is, and we got to figure out how can we get his plans and our plans aligned. And I'm not trying to create doubt in any of you. I don't want you second guessing yourself, but I'm always a fan of introspection. I'm always a fan of taking inventory in my life to see, hey, Lord, I just want to make sure that my heart is on the altar and my plans are on the altar and what I want for my life is on the altar. I want to make sure that your plans for my life and my plans for my life, that they are aligned, and so that I can see how I can do what you are blessing. Because doing what you are blessing is much better than asking you to bless what I am doing. And I'm not trying to riddle you confused today. You got to think about that just a moment. Do I want to do what God is blessing, or do I want God to bless what I am doing? So where's the danger? The danger is that God may call you. God may move you. God may ask you to stay. God may call you to serve. He may ask you to break up with her. He may ask you to break up with him. He may ask you to break up with them. That's another message, but graduates, this is a great time in your life to ask God what he wants you to do. Where do you want me, Lord? I'm praying that you would send me. You see, I would much rather be sent than went. You see, if I'm sent, that means I'm in God's will. I have sought his plan for my life. I have peace. I'm on a path of purpose in my life. But if I'm living by went, then I'm in my will. I'm interested in God's help, but his help has to agree with the plans I've already made. Does that sound crazy? We do this all the time. You and I, we all do this. It's not just graduates. We do this all the time. I remember a man coming to me just a few years ago, not in Georgia, and I'm always careful with stories like this because I still love people and they still listen and watch and I still hear from them, but I will never forget him coming to me and just out of the blue, so out of character, really. He said, hey, I'm moving this week. And I said, moving? You're like moving houses? We had a young church, and we were always helping one another move young couples that were leveling up or whatever and moving from house to house. And so I thought he was talking about getting guys together to come and help him move from one house to another. He said, no, I'm moving cities. And I can't explain it to you. If you're a guest today, you may not even understand the sobriety of my words or how serious this sounds, but just hold on for a moment. But I knew immediately, I know how God speaks to me. I know how God talks to me, and I knew in that moment this move was not God's will. That wasn't me not wanting to lose him. That wasn't me not wanting to part ways with the. It had nothing to do with that. I knew this was not God's will. And I said, listen, it sounds like you've already made up your mind. He said, oh, it's done. I've already accepted the position. It's done. It's done. It's done. And I said, listen, we need to talk. I have strong reservation about this. This is not God's will. And if you know me at all, I don't throw those words around. I don't just flippantly say that. I am coming to you with dire warning. This is a mistake. Doesn't matter that it's $10 more an hour. Doesn't matter that it's a bigger house. It doesn't matter all of the reasons. This is not God's will. And I'm concerned. I'm concerned that you have not prayed through this. And he said, I'm moving. It's already a done deal. And I won't even go into that because it has nothing to do. It's just, it was not God's will. That man is no longer married to his wife. I mean, there's so much tragedy and so much sadness and so much heartbreak. And are you saying, Pastor Darrell, that if he would have listened to you, that those things would not have happened? You know, actually, I think I am saying that because God puts people in our lives for a reason. I can't just say, Lord, I'm going to do this because it's what I want to do. And you can decide whether or not you want to bless me. You can decide whether or not you want to make it as a part of your will. But this is what I'm doing. Don't take that approach in life. Lord, send me. I want to be in your will. I want to be sent and not went. And the Lord said, amen. So let's look at a few different responses people had to God's call. And I'm just a few more moments. The first one was Jonah. Jonah was called by God for a specific purpose at a specific time. But Jonah's answer to God's call was, here I am, I'm not going. I'm here, Lord, but I'm not going. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Go to that great city, Nineveh, and preach against it. Their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Jonah is running away from God. Maybe you feel this today. My ears hear the Lord speaking. My heart understands what he's asking. I'm just not willing to do it. I'm just not willing to do what God is asking me to do. I don't know what that is. I hesitate filling in the blanks because I don't want you to say, oh, okay, well, he's talking about them or those people. No. He's talking to each of us today. Those of us that would say, I'm not doing it. I remember my brother one time who has struggled in his walk with the Lord and had some severe challenges in his life, and there's lots of reasons and things that play into that. But I remember him coming back to the Lord and having a powerful supernatural experience with God. And when he got home that night, he was just wringing hands. And my mother, I'm sure she's watching today, but but she's saying, what's wrong? What is this that you're feeling? He said, I'm just so scared. I'm so scared that if I commit my life, I'm so scared that if I give all to God, that God is going to ask me to travel like Daryl travels. I was a full-time evangelist at that time. And he said, I'm just so scared that if I really give my full self to God, that God's going to ask me to do what he's doing. And that's multifaceted, because I don't know if God is calling him, dealing with him in that way, or if he was just building something up in his mind that said, you know, going to church means X, Y, and Z. Being committed means X, Y, and Z. Well, regardless of what side of the coin you're looking on, when you give your heart to Jesus, it is all in. There really is no halfway to do this. There is no part way to do and to follow and to obey the Lord. If I'm gonna do this, I've got to be all in. But too many times our response is, "Here I am, Lord, but I'm not doing it. I've got too much going on. Not going to give, Lord, because I have needs in my life. Here I am, not. I've got a purpose. I've got a plan. I've got a call on my life. The question is, are we willing to obey?" I felt it. I woke up feeling it early this morning, the call of God. I felt it renewed in my spirit again. I felt it alive again in my own heart, taking me back to those early days of boyhood, taking me back to 14 years old preaching my first message. I felt all of that this morning as I woke up in the wee hours of the morning and praying over this service and praying over you, and it hasn't lifted. I arrived at the office and just last minute preparations in the service, I kept feeling that feeling, and I thought, "Lord, what are you trying to remind me?" He said, "Hey, dummy, I'm not trying to remind you. I'm trying to tell you that my call is in this room today. I'm going to call people into ministry. I'm going to call people into service. I'm going to call people into greater commitment. I'm going to call people. Lord, send me." And then there was Moses. Moses responded to God's call with, "Here I am, send someone else." No one disputes the call. They all recognize the call. They all believe in the call, but I'm either not doing it or I think there's someone else better suited to answer this call and to do what you're asking to be done. Exodus 3, verses 10 and 11. "So now go." This is the Lord speaking to Moses. He said, "I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But notice verse 11, Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? I'm not Nord. No way. Not me. I'm not doing this. I'm not qualified for this. I'm not capable of doing this. This is not for me. Lord, you've got to find someone else." I mean, I understand something needs to be done about Pharaoh. I know the people. My people need to be delivered. I know something has to change, but I just kind of want to watch from the sidelines. I'm really not interested in being out on the field. Maybe you could ask my brother Aaron. I'm just curious, why do we always think God made a mistake by asking us? Why do we always assume that God got it wrong? I mean, he's the creator. He's the author of beginning and ending, but somehow he got me wrong? He didn't get it wrong, ladies and gentlemen. I understand the sin. I understand the call, Lord. I just do not believe that I am good enough. I need to speak to every graduate in this room. I need to speak to every person in this room today. Whoever you are, whatever you are enough. Whatever talents you possess, whatever talents you feel like you lack, whatever skills you have, whatever skills are still in development, whoever you are, wherever you are enough. You need to realize that no one knows you better than God knows you. And if he's calling you, he already knows what he's working with and what he's dealing with. And he said, still, I choose you. I speak your name. I call you. I'm asking you to come be a part of this miracle. I'm asking you to come and to work and to be a part of the glory of God's call. Look at this next response, though. You've got Jonah and you've got Moses. They made excuses. They had their reasons for not answering God's call or responding in the affirmative. Eventually, God got to both of those men. But look at Isaiah. Isaiah prays a dangerous prayer. We need to pray this prayer. Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." Here I am, send me. Isaiah 6 and 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Whew, it's a dangerous prayer. Notice what Isaiah did not say. He did not say, "Lord, where are you sending me?" He didn't say, "Hey, but before I commit, is the weather nice there? Poor Jillian, she picked Southern California. Best weather in all the world. We're going to pray for you still, but when it's 98 degrees here this summer, just think of us if you don't mind." Isaiah didn't pray, "Hey, before I agree, are there good restaurants there?" PK and I, we're foodies, and God sent us to a county that fights good restaurants coming in. My answer is yes. If I'd have known that before, I don't know that I would have given a quick yes, because I do like my food, but that's a message for another time. When it comes to God, the answer is yes. You say, "But Pastor Darrell, I don't even know the question yet," but the answer is always yes. Is anyone willing to pray this prayer? I know it's dangerous. It's God may actually answer your prayer. "Lord, here I am. Send me. Send me. I'm willing to go. I'm willing." How is it? Because I always feel the need to be practical in moments like these and give you a next step. Because I don't want to just preach you happy or preach you motivated or preach you inspired and not tell you how to follow through in that motivation. But I'm curious how Isaiah could pray such a dangerous prayer. What was it that prepared him? What gave him the confidence to say, "Lord, send me"? How can you and I become fully surrendered to God? The first thing is that we need a genuine experience with the presence of God. The reason Isaiah could say yes was because he had a genuine experience with the presence of God. And I'm trying to hurry to get to cake, but I just felt the Holy Spirit walk into this room. He's been here, yes. Isaiah 6 and 1, how did this happen in Isaiah's life? It was in the year that King Uzziah died. He said he saw the Lord. That's where it started. He saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah had an experience that made his life. He had a moment with God. He had an experience in the presence of the Lord. That's why this is so important every single Sunday. It's why this matters so much. That's why I love our students up here learning how to feel, learning how to flow, learning how to engage, to entertain, to practice the presence of the Lord, learning how to feel their way through. Why? Because that experience with the presence of God. Listen to me, graduates, no matter where life takes you, make sure the presence of God is there. Jillian, I'm not trying to call her out, but last summer she did an internship with the same exact company, right? And the first question she was asking, got an opportunity to do an internship. Do you know of any churches? Tell me the neighborhood. Tell me the area. LA's a big place. Tell me where. I started texting friends and pastors and, hey, where are you in relation to this? Came back with, I don't know, two or three options. And she went and visited a church and fell in love with it. I know it's not as good as this one, but at least for LA, it's good. But every week her mom and dad would say, God, Pastor, thank you. Thank you for helping Jillian find. We traveled out and saw her. We love this church. It's powerful. It's great. Make sure wherever you go, wherever life takes you, that the presence of God is available to you. I've said it to people in this house. Got a great opportunity. It's big money. It's an awesome position. Have you checked to see if there's a church in Timbuktu? No, we'll figure it out. Will you? Will you? He had a genuine experience with the presence of God. Because his presence, graduates, is more important than good pay, big houses, or pretty spouses. I want to see the Lord. Secondly, I'm almost done. We need a genuine awareness of our sinfulness. Isaiah 6 and 5. Isaiah prayed it, woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, I'm a man of unclean lips. We're talking about what prepared Isaiah to pray, Lord, send me. I live among people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Here's the thing, I've got this sin I'm dealing with. I've got my choices I've been dealing with. I've got my addictions I've been struggling with. But all of a sudden I saw the Lord. And when I saw the Lord, it made me want to change everything in my life. When I had this genuine experience with the presence of God, everything shifted. Everything shifted. Everything shifted. Jude used to tell us for years, he wanted to work at a gas station. What do you want to do? I want to work at a gas station. And I start telling him, son, you can own the gas station, but I need you to aim higher. He saw the Lord. He had an experience with God. And now he's saying, I want to stop by the gas station and put gas in my car so that it'll take me to wherever God is calling me. Because when you have an experience with God, when you have a genuine experience with God, come on, team, come. It's a good truth to live by, to see how good God is and to know how good we are not. That's not beating up on us. That's not condemning myself. It's just recognizing that God is powerful, and I need Him in my life. And here's the third and final. We need a genuine understanding of God's grace. We need an experience in His presence. We need an awareness of our sinfulness, and we need an understanding, genuine understanding of God's grace. Isaiah 6:6-7. Then one of the seraphim, those are angels, they flew to me with a live coal. He had taken that coal from the altar. With it, verse 7, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for." He had an experience with the presence of God. He recognized his own sinfulness, his own need for God, and then he was able to see that God's grace was great enough to cover, to renew, to restore, to revive. God was big enough to qualify someone who was unqualified. Because God does not call the qualified, He qualifies the called. You're thinking you're not worthy to be sent, but God's grace says you are worthy. You can do something great for God. Every graduate, every couple, every single mom, every single dad, every middle-aged family, you can do something great for God. Find an altar. Allow a coal from that altar to touch your mouth so that from this day forward you speak different, you think different, you move different. To every graduate, whether on the team or in the house today, God has a plan for your life. I charge you not to run from it, but to run to it. Which